The silenced scream that woke a nation. On the map of Polish descent, Warsaw was the political brain, and Krakow the spiritual heart. But Poznan was the nervous system that, after receiving the first electric shock, learned to resist with a unique mix of rage and pragmatism. In this city, historically marked by Prussian order and the ethic of organic work, the pavement of Mickiewicz Square holds not just the memory of a tragedy, but the history of how an entire society learned to organize in the shadows. Walking today in front of the monument to the victims of June 1956, two immense steel crosses joined by a rope, is to face the first real crack in the Iron Curtain. But to understand its weight, one must listen to the silence that preceded the scream. On June 28, 1956, at 6 in the morning, Poznan's proverbial discipline shattered when workers at the H. Cegielski factories stopped machinery under the slogan, "Bread and Freedom." The protest, initially peaceful, transformed into an urban battle when the crowd stormed the prison on Winska Street and besieged the public security headquarters. The regime's response destroyed the myth that communism represented the working class. They sent 400 tanks and 10,000 soldiers against the workers. Among the at least 58 fatalities fell Romek Strzałkowski, a 13-year-old boy who became the symbol of executed innocence. His death marked the start of a second occupation, that of silence. For a quarter of a century, the government forbade speaking of what happened, forcing the city to become the clandestine guardian of its own history, applying the logic of building itself better than the enemy through networks of self-help and community survival. In this ecosystem of apparent order, art played a crucial subversive role. The Theater of the Eighth Day, Teatr Ósmego Dnia, emerged from student counterculture to become the aesthetic nightmare of the secret police. Under the direction of visionaries like Lech Raczak and Ewa Wujczak, the group took theater out of closed venues and into the streets and churches. Their work was not mere entertainment, but an act of public accusation. Surveillance on them was so obsessive that, paradoxically, it became artistic material. Years later, they would create the play Teczki, The Files, using real reports that informers had written about their lives, transforming police repression into a theater script, and proving that truth always finds a crack to emerge. If the factories provided the strength and the theater the voice, the church provided the intellect. In Poznan, the Dominican monastery functioned as a static, flying university, with the central figure of Father Honoriusz Kowalczyk. In the cloisters, away from censorship, the true history of Poland erased from official books was taught. Father Honoriusz paid the highest price. His death in 1983, following a mysterious car accident, was interpreted by the city as a political assassination. However, his legacy endured. During martial law, the Dominican Church was not only a place of prayer, but the logistical center from where aid was distributed to families of the interned and peaceful resistance was organized. Poznan teaches us a vital lesson about urban memory. Its monuments do not celebrate military victories, but the dignity of standing firm. Walking its streets today, the city speaks to us of a resistance that did not need to be loud to be unbreakable. It was here, between order and fury, where the silenced scream of workers ended up waking the conscience of an entire nation.